And since the recession, almost every state in the union has been doing this for the past 6 years or so now, waiving this work requirement. There were a handful of exceptions, 3 or 4 or 5 states that just never bothered to for whatever reason. But now in the past couple of years, we've started to see a growing number of states, most of them with Republican governors, initiate a sort of premature reinstatement of this work rule. Basically, they get told by the USDA, yep, you're still eligible, your economy's still crappy enough to justify waiving this requirement. You don't have to require this 20 hours of work from people. And in Maine, in New Mexico, in Ohio, in Kansas, the governors of those states have decided to reinstate work requirements on a timeline that the federal government believes is premature, basically before their economies recovered enough. And so as a result, you've got thousands and thousands of people spotted across the country who are getting booted off of food stamps for reasons that the federal government has deemed to be basically incorrect. You know, they're saying these states should be waiving this requirement, and a handful of states are ignoring that recommendation.
Listen, Alan, we've got to get going. How do we find out more about you and what you write for Progress?
You can find us at thinkprogress.org/economy or on Twitter at TPEconomy.
And if you include us at the Union Edge, we'll retweet that for you, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Winter Folk, the annual benefit concert hosted by Sisters of the Road, Saturday, January 31st, 7 o'clock p.m. to 10:30 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. This year's featured performer is auto harpist Brian Bowers. Other acts include Portland singer-songwriter Avery Hill, Flying Fish recording artist Don Lang, Kate Power and Steve Einhorn, and many more. Again, that's Winter Folk, a benefit concert for Sisters of the Road, Saturday, January 31st, 7 o'clock p.m. to 10:30 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tuesday nights on KBOO, it's Cubby Cushy, Cubby Cush.
With DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid.
10 p.m. to midnight.
2 hours of global bass featuring Bhangra, Bollywood,
and the urban sounds of the global diaspora.
You're done north!
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net.
What's up, everybody? This is Goddess and She, and you're tuning in to KBOO Portland. Holla at your girl. What's up, everybody? This is Goddess.
Welcome to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO. My name is Carla, and tonight we are going to be featuring two guests that are here with us in studio. In the first part of the show, we are going to be speaking with Ampersand Crates, who is a volunteer with the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest. We're going to be talking about GLAPN's work, including their upcoming 21st anniversary celebration that is going to be happening next next week at the Q Center. And in the second half of the show, we welcome Wendy Colley, a photographer and author of the Butch Femme Photo Project. We're going to be discussing Wendy's new book as well as their upcoming tour. So stay tuned for those conversations. But first, I'd like to let you know how to connect with us online. We love to hear from our listeners, and you can email us at outloudradio@gmail.com. And if you use the social networking sites Facebook or Twitter, you can find us there as well. Do a search for KBOO Out Loud on both Facebook and Twitter, and you connect with us online. Now, I also want to let you know that we are always looking for volunteers to get involved with Out Loud. Everyone is welcome. You do not need to have previous radio experience, and you can find out more on the KBOO website, kboo.fm/volunteer. We'd love to have you get involved, and if you'd like to connect with us directly, if you have any questions about volunteering with Out Loud, remember our email is outloudradio@gmail.com. Now, we're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back in just a few moments to speak with Ampersand and learn more about the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest. But first, here is Celebration. That song was Celebration from Kool and the Gang, and you're listening to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO Portland. My name is Carla, and I played that song for all you all tonight because we are going to be talking about celebrating the 21st anniversary of the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest. GLAPN has been working since 1994 to discover and publicize the history and herstory of sexual minorities in the Pacific Northwest. And tonight, I am happy to welcome Ampersand Crates to the KBOO studios. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. It's so exciting to have you here. For folks that aren't familiar with GLAPN, I gave just a little bit of background, but what are some of the things that GLAPN is doing that you are excited about?
Well, GLAPN basically is a community-based archival nonprofit. Everyone involved is on a volunteer basis. We've been around since 1994, so this is our 21st year. And basically, everyone is welcome to do individual projects. A lot of times we come together at meetings to talk about the individual things that we're working on. Some of our members have written books. Some of them have written articles for the website and for PQ Monthly. And we have some works in the Oregon Historical Society, so we've got a lot of cool things going on.
Right on. And what's your role within GLAPN? I know you're a volunteer, so what kind of things do you contribute as a volunteer?
So my main roles are I'm the secretary, and I also am currently working on a youth archive and a youth timeline to kind of let people know the timeline of history of youth-related queer and trans happenings in the Pacific Northwest.
That's exciting. And so if folks want to volunteer or get involved, can they find out how to do that through the website, maybe?
Totally. You can go to glapn.org. That's GLAPN.org. Or you can also send us an email at info@glapn.org. And we're happy to give you any information or answer any questions you have.
Okay. Very exciting. And you guys have monthly meetings or...
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. We meet on the fourth Thursday of every month at the Q Center from 7 to 9 p.m. And everyone is welcome. You don't have to have a history or archival background.
Okay, right on. And so for folks that aren't familiar, I just want to make sure people know you mentioned that you meet at the Q Center, and that's located on North Mississippi Avenue, for folks that aren't familiar. It's a couple blocks north of Fremont. And if you want more information on the Q Center, I just want to let listeners know that website is pdxqcenter.org. And you guys, your big celebration is going to be at the Q Center, right?
Yes, correct. Our 21st birthday party and art opening, we have a gallery show going on as well to celebrate with some of our archival works on display. It's going to be on Thursday, February 5th from 5 to 9 p.m.
Very exciting. 5 to 9 p.m. And everybody's welcome?
Everybody's welcome. It's totally free to attend. And there's going to be refreshments. So.
Wonderful. Okay, refreshments. That's good.
Yeah.
So the exhibit that's going to be, that's a opening night for the exhibit on Thursday night. I'm guessing that all the stuff in the exhibit is from the archives? Or tell us, what are people going to be looking at?
There's a really wide array of materials. There's everything from pre-Stonewall materials dating all the way back to 1912. We've got some materials from the Oregon Citizens Alliance ballot measures of the 1990s. And we're going to have a table also where folks can actually kind of leaf through physical materials, such as the complete SMRC archives and classic issues of Just Out way back from the 1980s.
Right on. Okay. And I guess what about if people have been involved here in the community or somewhere in the Pacific Northwest? Can people donate their materials to the archives?
They totally can. That's actually mainly how we run.
Okay.
We're a purely volunteer-run organization, and we don't have the capacity to do a lot of field work and kind of approach people. So a lot of the work we do is people coming with us and saying, hey, I think I have something really cool or important or have historical value. Could you take a look at it? And we're totally happy to take a look at it and see if it can be used.
Okay. And the archives that GLAPN, or again, the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest, is there an office or can people come and see what's in the archives already?
Right now, we ourselves don't have a physical space, but we do have some of our archives at the Oregon Historical Society.
Okay. And I guess I've never been there. So is that something that's open to the public, or how? I'm just assuming, like, there's somebody who wants to see the archives of the Pacific Northwest, and could someone go to the Historical Society and have access to that?
Yeah, I don't remember if there's, like, entry fees or not. I apologize for not knowing that. But, yeah, anyone, I think, that lives in Multnomah County can pretty much get in and
have access.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm guessing people's favorite search engines would help them find those details.
Yeah.
I apologize, listeners. I did not look that up myself. I just know that Glapan, again, the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest, that since you guys have been around for 21 years and celebrating, that is such a historical landmark. I mean, just more than 20 years. Mm-hmm. I would guess that you all have an amazing treasure of information from our collective stories over the years.
We do, and we have a lot of information, too, on our website at glapan.org. You can look at different timelines of history, different articles on history. It's really cool, and I encourage everyone to take a look.
Okay, and again, it's glapan.org. And so the big party is coming up. Again, it's next week, February 5th at the Q Center. Any other events or other things that are on your timeline into the future that listeners might be interested in?
Well, some current Glapan projects. The one thing that we're often most known for is Queer Heroes Northwest, and that's during Pride Month. Every single day for 30 days, we introduce a new queer hero to kind of celebrate the queer and trans people in our local community that have, like, really helped out, done great activism, helped out. Let's see.
And I know also, there's a list of those, though, on the website, correct?
There is,
from years past.
Yeah, you can see them on the website. And we also recently finished bounding 30 years worth of Just Outs. So since they're kind of just really, like, weak paper, we actually went to a bookbinder and paid to have them bound in hardcover books. And those are going to be on display also at the party that's coming up. So if people want to come and leaf through 30 years worth of them, they're totally welcome to. It's really cool to look through them.
It is. And for listeners outside the Portland metro area, or even some listeners here local, if you're not familiar, Just Out was the gay and lesbian newspaper that was around, and Ampersand just said, what, 30 years worth of Just Out?
Yeah, from the 1980s forward.
Yeah, and that Just Out ceased publication a couple years ago, but that's awesome that y'all have copies and now they're bound and available for people to check out. Yeah. I mean, check out, I mean, look at, not check out and take home.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
All right. So that's exciting. And those, let me go back to the Queer Heroes project that you all put together, because each year it's so nice to read through those biographies and find out more about individuals in our community. What's the process to I guess I'm just thinking towards June, and there's going to be another 30 people that are going to be honored with those awards. Do people submit or kind of recommend people? Or
yeah, anyone in the community can submit a nomination for a queer hero. We have people that have submitted dozens themselves in the past. So please, yeah, check it out on the website. If you know somebody that you think has done really great work and has been an asset to the community, we'd love to hear about them.
Okay, wonderful. So for in case anyone has just joined the conversation, I want to let you know my name's Carla, and we're speaking with Ampersand, who is a volunteer with the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest. A lot of the information we're talking about can be found on their website, which is glapan.org. And we're really excited about the celebration next week. Again, there's a 21st anniversary party at the Q Center over on North Mississippi, Thursday, February 5th. And what time does the action get started?
5 to 9 p.m.
5 to 9. Okay. And I'm looking forward to checking out those Just Out newspapers.
Yeah.
I think that's a really awesome way to read through our own historical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some, I'm guessing, photographs on the wall.
There's going to be like blown up pictures on display, sort of like just a normal art gallery, a timeline of history. We're also going to have some of the books written by our members. Two of the really cool books that our members have written. One is called A Curious and Peculiar People by Dave Cole, and it documents the history of the Metropolitan Community Church of Portland and the sexual minority communities of the Pacific Northwest. It's really fascinating, very detailed and well-researched. I recommend it. The other book that a Glapin member has written is called The Vice Click, Portland's Great Sex Scandal. That was written by George Painter, and it's currently available at the Espresso Book Machine at Powell's. And it kind of covers the scandal that occurred in Portland way back in 1912, where 68 men were implicated in the crime, quote unquote, of consensual sex. And it just kind of documents these 68 cases, the lives of the people it impacted, and how it affected Oregon law and culture for the next 100 years.
Wow. Yeah. Very, and again, 1912, that sex scandal was a mm-hmm. significant part of what happened in the rainbow world, you know, over yeah. those key period of time back then. So that, and I've actually had my hands on both of those books, and so very interesting reads, you know, just what's going on. So one thing I'm curious, ampersand, is what brought you to working with Glapin? You had mentioned the youth project, but mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about what brought you to getting involved with the archives.
Yeah, I met someone from Glapin. I met George Nicola there at a 2013 Pride event that I was tabling at. I was tabling for SMRC because I was the Pride Project Coordinator at the time. And we just got to talking, and he found out that I was working on my master's in library and information science, which ties in wonderfully with this kind of work. So he told me all about it, and I thought it sounded really cool, so I decided to go to a meeting, and everyone was so welcoming and open and just totally great. So I was really happy that I gave it a shot.
Right on. And so you had mentioned an area of interest, or one of the projects you're working on is the youth collection.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit, you know, what you found so far, or what you're hoping to find as you put that part of the archive together.
Well, traditionally, Glapin has been, you know, a very much older-focused organization. A lot of times, historical things are focused more on things that happened in the past. But I believe in, you know, collecting history now. History is happening now. So it's really important to collect our stories before they're forgotten. So I'm hoping to connect with youth around the city and get their perspective on what's going on now, the legal things that are happening, the great activism and organizations that are happening. I'm hoping to come up with a timeline also just of youth history, youth-related, like from way back when to present. So far, my main work, because I was a SMRC staff and I worked on the library there, has been involved with SMRC. I have scanned over 300 materials from the archives there, which will be on display also. That's one of the physical things that will be at the party. People can leaf through these binders with the SMRC archives.
Right on. That is so awesome. And for any listeners that aren't familiar with SMRC, we want to let you know it's the Sexual and Gender Minority Youth Resource Center. They are kind of a branch of the Q Center, but their website, you can find smyrc.org. And this is kind of off topic, but it is about SMRC. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with their new location?
I haven't been there yet. They okay. just moved, but I haven't been there.
And that's where, I apologize, I'm surprising ampersand with that question, because I don't have the details in my mind. But for those people that are in Portland, if you're not already familiar, SMRC was located on Northeast Sandy. And just last week, they transitioned over to their new location, which is downtown. And I think this weekend is when they first start opening for services.
I believe so, yeah. And they were partnering with New Avenues for Youth to open the space.
Exactly. So I apologize, listeners, we don't have all the details, but this is a brand new move for SMRC, and they're getting themselves situated in a new location. But again, all the details on their website, SMYRC. And again, if you're not already familiar with SMRC, they provide counseling, they have drop-in hours, they have counseling for adults as well, but it's mostly people 21 and younger.
It's 23 and
younger. 23 yeah. and younger. Okay.
12 to 23.
12 to 23. All right. So SMRC is, I affectionately call them the Queer Kid Community Center, but those are my words. But they do a lot of different services for folks that aren't familiar. So that's awesome, Ampersand, that you were able to include some of the library stuff from SMRC in this archive. And with that youth project happening at Glapin, if there are other people in the community that have resources, could they find you through the Glapin website, or if they wanted to add something to that youth collection?
Totally. I have access to the emails that are sent to info@glapin.org.
Okay.
So if anybody has any materials or they want to get involved, if they are a youth and would like to help with this, like, I would love that.
Okay. So again, info@glapn.org is a route that you can connect with Ampersand if you'd like to contribute or get involved with the archive, or perhaps just have questions. Okay. So I just want to remind our listeners when the party is again. Yep.
The party is on Thursday, February 5th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Q Center, which is located at 5114 North Mississippi Avenue.
Okay. So hopefully we'll be seeing a lot of faces at that celebration. And Ampersand, I apologize, we're starting to run out of time, but I wanted to give you a chance. Make sure that we've talked about everything, or were there anything else that you wanted to be sure our listeners knew about?
Basically, I just wanted to note, you know, everyone has a story to tell and value to contribute to the historical record. Part of the reason I think organizations like Glapin are so important is that often the stories of queer and trans people either aren't being told, or when they are told, it's through the lens of mainstream culture and media. So by telling our own stories, we ensure that they're told accurately, and we reclaim our right to be in charge of how we're represented. So I invite everyone to come to Glapin if they have any interest at all. Everyone is welcome. You don't have to be a trained archivist or have a master's degree or anything. It is very much a community-based archive. So if you're in the queer and trans community, you are Glapin. And again, we currently meet on the fourth Thursday of every month at the Q Center from 7 to 9 p.m. Please feel free to drop by, or if you have any questions or concerns about anything at all, we're reachable at info@glapin.org.
Wonderful. And again, thank you so much for coming down to KBOO tonight. Listeners, we're just in the process of saying goodbye to Ampersand, who is a volunteer with the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest. You can email info@glapn.org, or you can find their calendar as well as all sorts of other information, including those queer heroes stories on their website, glapn.org. So thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see you at the party.
Totally. I'll be there.
Okay, great. Now, listeners, stay tuned. We're going to be back in just a few moments to speak with Wendy Colley and hear more about their book, The Butch Femme Photo Project. But before we do that, we're going to take a short musical break. The first song that you're going to hear is called Wholesome on Folsom. And it's from Ho Momentum. And I just wanted to let you know, I chose this song as a historical connection to the, well, not from the Pacific Northwest, but, you know, that we were just talking about the archives from the Pacific Northwest. For those that aren't familiar, Folsom Street Fair is an annual BDSM and leather subculture street fair held in September in San Francisco. It caps off San Francisco's Leather Pride Week, and sometimes the Folsom Street Fair is referred to simply as Folsom. It does happen on Folsom Street. It started in 1984 and is one of California's largest single-day outdoor events, and it's the world's largest leather event to showcase BDSM products and culture. It's grown into a nonprofit charity, and local and national nonprofits benefit with all donations going to charity groups. So the song Wholesome on Folsom is from the CD Ho Momentum, which is a local CD, and some folks are already familiar with Max Voltage, local producer, singer, songwriter, talent extraordinaire. Max shared that Home Momentum has a lot of big announcements coming up and new projects on the horizon. If you'd like to stay up to date with what's happening with Home Momentum, you can sign up for their email list at homomentum.com. The song is Wholesome on Folsom from Home Momentum.
When you're wholesome on Folsom, there's some things you should know. Wholesome on Folsom, places to go. Dirty and flirty, naughty and nice. Gender and bendy, make you think twice. When you're wholesome on Folsom, relax, enjoy the sights. Tied up, not uptight. When you're wholesome on Folsom, there's some things you should know. Wholesome on Folsom, go with the flow. Oh, hankies and spankies, leather and coat. Daddies and fatties, hookers and pros. When you're wholesome on Folsom, come and spend the night. Bark worse than our bite. When you're wholesome on Folsom, there's some things you should know. Wholesome on Folsom, don't take it slow. Oh, butches and bottoms, pillows and queens, sadists and ladies. Pleasure's worth the fright.
Sticker on the side of my new car. Someone sketched "Just Trust in God, You Fool" on the flat top face of a Nevada boulder. Well, there were little blue and pink crosses on a wide stretch of Iowa corn. Some Christian soldier paid to paint a fetus on 3 miles of Missouri billboards. Some chick carved a Corinthian quote on the rust stop bathroom wall. I was politely warned I should plan to burn on a baby blue flyer outside of a Kansas strip mall. And I slam on my brakes in Tipton, Georgia. The sign says, "Turf Grass Capital of the World." I take a Polaroid to remember all the possibility in self-created awards. And on the back roads, when I take my time, I'm shifting past hand-lettered signs for sweet tea and boiled peanuts. And back on the interstate, I'm steering past scared cows in a line and Bible factory outlets. Sturdy mass productions like trendy purses or the pursed lips of thought. Like the school pledge I untaught myself. You know, a God that only blessed America was a God I did not want.
Take God's word, fuck your soul, and saturate yourself with it.
It's never creation that's a problem, but the way that it's abused. You know, Oppenheimer changed his mind once he saw how the bomb was used. You gotta watch how your God is used. Church and state, the holy crusade to try and separate them. In southern sodomy laws with Supreme Court status. Priests praying little boys, instructing sinners to Hail Mary. Chosen people, choosing property. Exiling the rest of God's people to poverty. Exhaling global women's bodies in pro-choice clinics. Inhaling power dynamics at the expense of holy human beings. You gotta watch how your God is used. How your God is used. How your God is used. And I'm piling on my own regrets. Like communion wafers on my tongue. And I'm gobbling up forgiveness for all the things I have not said or done. Still, I am a proud slut. I've slept with lots of good ideas. I just know which ones I like. And I'm appraising the Lord on these little country roads. Cause every theory has a human price. Every theory, every theory, every theory has a human price.
This is no child's play.
I'm sobbing along now to some father-daughter story where daughter lost childhood and daddy found the Lord. I'm cruising through our holy land. It's a highway of nightlights now. I think America is scared of the boogeyman. I bet that little girl could tell you exactly where he could be found. And in daddy's little story, his sacred battled his profane. And I'm stomping on the gas, restraining my temptation to dial up this local Georgia station. What if I hold my profane sacred? I'll say, what if I emancipate this dirty world with the dirty words that I am waging? What if I worship reverence and my poems are my saviors? Saviors, holy, 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 I remain devoted to the brazen pioneers. Yeah, I include your Jesus amongst the thinkers who are heroes. But see, it's the fearless. It's the fearless, not the pious, who lead the masses in my church. It's the masses, it's the grounded, who do the holy human work. My toes, gripping the ground, I'll reach for the stakes of whatever people's prayer we sing. Cause I am not an unbeliever, I just put deep faith in human things, in holy human beings, holy human beings, holy human beings. I just put deep faith in human
masses,
things.
Not the heavens, do the holy human work. It's the masses, not the heavens, do the holy human work. It's the masses, not the heavens, who do the holy human work. It's the masses, not the heavens, who do the holy human work.
Welcome back to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO Portland. My name is Carla, and that song was titled Holy Human from Alex Olson. And before that, we heard Wholesome on Folsome from Max Voltage and Ho Momentum. Next, we're going to be moving into a conversation with Wendy Calley, who is a photographer and author. And welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome. It's exciting to have you here. Tell us about the Butch Femme Photo Project.
Well, the Butch Femme Photo Project is what I call a heart project of mine that started pretty much back in 2010 when I was trying to find my identity in my place in the community. I came out when I was 30, and I did a lot of research on, because I'm the nerdy type, did a lot of research on the community and how people identify, and I'm fascinated by people's stories. So that was what led me into this, because in 2010, I attended the Butch Voices Conference, and within that conference found my community and my family and what I call my Butch brothers.
Your people.
My people, exactly.
Oh,
yeah. And what really brought it home for me was because when I attended that conference at that time, I had always felt, don't put me in a box. I don't want to label myself, and I don't want to be something that I'm going to grow out of eventually. And what happened was I found my identity and I found my history. And through that, this project was born because, again, I started doing research, trying to find other people who looked like me, other people who moved around in the world who presented like me, maybe even had the same anxieties as I did, like going to the bathroom. So I started this project because I couldn't find photographs from, I would say, maybe the 80s on. And I sort of attributed that to the feminist movement and pushing out the butch and femme identities because it looked a little too heteronormative to them. And we don't want to conform. We wanted to be our own community. And I totally understand that. But I needed to find something that I identified with. And in the media, the normal media that we see on television and movies, I couldn't find anybody that I could identify with. So I wanted to know about people's stories, and I wanted to photograph them so that it could be this book that people could pick up and say, hey, look, there's somebody like me who's living in the world like me. I'm not the only one.
Mm-hmm. That's so important, the telling of your own stories or taking ownership of that, how the world sees you, you know, in a way that you can control. And I want to go back just a moment and acknowledge, you know, that the Butch Voices Conference had a major touchstone in your life. And for folks that aren't familiar, I encourage you to find the Butch Voices Network, that I know that there are communities up and down the West Coast, and I'm going to guess it's evolving. And so Butch Voices has a conference or conferences, and maybe speak a little bit what happens at the Butch Voices Conference, or what was your experience there?
So my experience there, there were several panels that people of different age ranges spoke at. We also had a writing workshop, which was very enlightening to me. I'm also a writer, so being able to write about situations or stuff in my life that has happened, and then not only write about it and how I feel and how I present in the world, but to be able to get up and share it with someone was empowering and scary all at once. But but the conference itself had a lot of workshops, the panels that I spoke about. It brings a community together, and it helps you find your people.
And find your own way.
And find your own way, absolutely.
Your own evolution.
Yeah.
Great. And so maybe let's take a moment, and for listeners that aren't familiar, again, the name of your book is The Butch Femme Photo Project. And again, we're speaking with Wendy Kali, K-A-L-I, if you'd like to find her book. For a general listener who might not be familiar with our community, let's take a moment and just kind of explain the Butch Femme and the stereotype. And I don't want to assume that people know what we're talking about.
Right.
So I'll give you my stereotype and then you give yours, and we could, you know, go around the room like this. But the stereotype for me, a femme is an individual who identifies as female, presents, and I'm just going to use the stereotype of dresses, and they do something to their hair and probably use makeup or some kind of facial products, and basically a feminine type of person. That may or may not have a female body, but that they identify as a femme. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then that's my stereotype. And then someone who's a butch is more masculine in their presenting and presentation. You know, maybe someone with a female body who wears a men's suit or keeps their hair short in a more traditional masculine hairstyle, or their jewelry might be more masculine. Okay. But that's a huge stereotype. Please don't think that's true for everybody listeners. Okay. But a butch would be someone who's a more masculine type of person.
Yeah. Okay.
So now you give your stereotype. How do you define?
So it's interesting to me in listening to your stereotypes, because they're all about how people look and
exactly
present in the world.
Yeah.
But what I found through this project is identities of butch and femme are so much deeper than that.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree. Yeah.
A lot of people who I spoke with and who let me photograph them and tell me their story, they felt as if butch and femme were more of a gender.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's that deep inside of them. That's just how they feel more comfortable in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the stereotypes are out there, of course.
Right.
But also, if you look through this book, there are a million ways to be butch and there are a million ways to be femme. And it's all about how you self-identify. And that was my intention with this project, putting it out there, is people self-identify and self-define those identities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And claim what's true for them.
Exactly.
Not, the most important thing for me is not what society tells you.
Yes.
And I'm shaking a finger like somebody's telling you what to do. Okay. So people claiming their identity.
Right.
And what's true for me. And so, how did you decide who to have in your book?
So this project was really a very organic project. When I decided to do it, I talked to a couple of people and I said, this is what I'm thinking about doing. I was fairly new to photographing people and was finding kind of a niche in it. And it was very much enjoying capturing those moments that those people are in. And I really wanted to capture moments of people's lives. I didn't want to put them in a studio. So that was my idea, and I pitched it to a couple of friends, and they said, that's brilliant, you should do it. So I started going around Portland, I drove up to Seattle, and I mostly did it through Facebook connections.
Mm-hmm.
I put an announcement out through my blog, and people shared it, and people contacted me. So it was everyone who came to me about it. I didn't want to reach out and make people feel maybe like they had to do it.
Okay.
I wanted it to all sort of come together on its own, and it did.
So people self-selected themselves.
Correct.
To be part of it.
Right.
Okay. How many people or how many couples, like, hopefully listeners will go find your book and you can discover for yourselves, but maybe how many individuals or how many couples are in there?
So there are a total of 106 photographs, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually photographed, I think it was about 76 couples.
Okay.
Or maybe I'm getting those numbers backwards, sorry, but...
Okay, okay, a lot.
Yeah, a lot. And I traveled, I started, like I said, in the Pacific Northwest, and I put a Kickstarter out there and got it funded. Hallelujah.
Yay.
And got to travel across the U.S. and a couple parts of Canada. And it was all about, my only requirement for people participating in it is, do you identify as butch or femme in any way, shape, or form?
Mm-hmm.
And everything else just sort of fell together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are all of the photos of couples or are there individuals?
No, there are also individuals.
Okay.
Yes.
Right on.
Yeah.
Are you in the book?
I am. Very last page.
Okay. Right on.
And I actually did take the photograph. It's a photograph of me in a mirror at an art project.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Great. Not just the biography part, but...
No. Yeah.
Included as a participant.
Yes.
Okay. Right on. So, if there are any listeners who just joined us, you're listening to Out Loud. This is the Queer Culture Radio Show on KBOO. My name is Carla, and now we are speaking with Wendy Colley, who's a photographer and author of the book, The Butch Femme Photo Project. Where can folks find you online?
It has a Facebook page,
okay.
Number one, and also there's a website, butchfemphotoproject.com.
Okay. And can folks order your book through your website?
Not through my website. They can order it through the publisher's website, although there are links on that website to show you where to purchase them.
Okay. For listeners in Portland or around Oregon, are there any local booksellers that have your book available?
There are, thankfully. St. John's Booksellers.
Okay.
Picked it up first. She was very excited.
Yay.
I was so happy to go and see them on the shelf. That was the first store I got to visit.
Yay, St. John's Booksellers. Okay.
Yeah. And another read through on Mississippi.
Okay.
And In Other Words also has a few copies as well.
Okay. In Other Words is on the corner of Killingsworth and Williams.
Correct.
I believe. Yeah. InOtherWords.org is our website.
Yes.
Okay. Right on. And so you're going on tour. Or what's in store for your book?
Well, it's sort of a self-imposed tour.
Okay.
I'm moving back to Ipswich, Massachusetts.
Okay.
The end of March. So I'm hoping to hit bookstores along the way.
Yeah.
Or centers, however it works out. But I'll be driving across the I-90. So anywhere along that route, I'm hoping to hit. And I'm hoping to get into Chicago. There's a couple of stores there that I've been talking to. And then Syracuse, Albany, Boston for sure, and New York City for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. So on the chance that there might be a listener who has a resource along anywhere across the United States close to I-90, how can they get a hold of you to share that idea?
Oh, please, oh, please. Email me. My email address is wendikali@gmail.com.
Okay. Wendy with an I.
Correct.
Kali with an I at gmail.com. Okay. And when you mentioned the end of March is when you're going to be traveling.
Correct. I'm leaving Portland March 30th.
Okay. How exciting.
Yes.
And so are you doing any local talks or like anything with your book here in Portland or the Pacific Northwest?
I am actually just scheduled a lunch and learn at Mount Hood Community College. That's happening on Tuesday, March 3rd.
Okay. Yeah. Open to the public?
I believe so.
Maybe. Okay.
I think they were talking about it. Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. How exciting.
Yes.
I'm just assuming that there will be more and more people that want to get involved with your project. And so I like to dream really big, and then you can be my reality check. Chances for a second publishing or like more, another 100 people that want to be in your book?
I have to tell you, that's my number one question.
Oh, okay, great.
So maybe, I don't know.
Let's see how funding works out.
I know, it would be awesome to do it. I had several people contact me from the UK and places in Europe and India, and I would love to go photograph them and talk to them and get their story. But we will see.
Yeah, part of it is the money, unfortunately.
Yes. And right now I've actually opened up a place on my website, a separate page, for people to submit their own photos and answer, I think it was the first three questions that I had sent out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are there any plans to like get this book in the hands of teenagers, or how you mentioned you found the Butch Voices Conference, you know, in your early 30s, but just to make this book, again, the Butch Femme Photo Project, and to make this book available for young people.
Yes.
Again, I'm dreaming, but what's the reality for that?
No, right now, actually, my publisher, Blue Skirt Productions, they are running a special through the month of January. If you purchase a book, the proceeds from those book purchases will go towards printing copies to donate to queer and lesbian centers, to SMRC, any other library. We've already given a copy to Q Center. And we'd hope to get it into high school libraries.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome. Mount Hood Community College is going to have it in their library and their bookstore.
So, any chance Multnomah County Library?
I'm hoping.
We can dream.
If people request it.
Yeah. I was like, actually, I'm a huge fan of Multnomah County Library.
Me
and
too.
If they don't have a book you want, yeah, you can ask for it and they'll get it.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Okay. We'll do a little reconnaissance on that.
That would be awesome.
Wonderful. Okay. So I'm just so excited that this book is out there.
Thank you. Me too.
What were some of the surprises? I guess let's just reflect on you putting the book together. But what were some of the things that surprised you when you were compiling all these different stories and photographs?
The stories that came through were some of them incredibly heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that hit me the most, and I've talked about this before at the book opening, but I'm not sure why it never occurred to me why femme invisibility is an issue, because the femmes don't feel like they're seen in our community because they look straight.
Yep.
And it's a huge issue, and I totally get it now. And I can't honestly say why it didn't click with me until I started reading these stories. But it was quite amazing to read all of the femmes, almost all of them, mentioned femme invisibility.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if some of the stories, those people that were, the femmes who were sharing those stories, finding it difficult to date with that invisibility?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
A couple of stories of first coming out and going to the lesbian bar and being told that maybe they're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Yeah, or they don't look gay enough. Or you can seriously be gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, stories like...
Your hair is too long. Your nails are too long.
You have makeup on.
Yeah. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Exactly. Yeah. Why are you wearing heels and a dress? It doesn't make sense. But I was shocked at some of these stories. And I think I'm shocked almost on a daily basis on how we treat each other. But
yeah.
But also a lot of heartwarming stories too. I mean, people who have found their own power and have stepped into it and recognize themselves as their own identity. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Yeah.
Right. Well, then that reflects just a little bit of your experience.
Absolutely.
At the Butch Voices and
absolutely.
I think you said finding your brothers or your people.
Yes, my people, mm-hmm. my history.
Right.
You know, it's like I was adopted, so finding that history of a family was so important for me. Mm-hmm. I needed to have some sort of foundation to build off of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe will you ever do a workshop at the Butch Voices and go back?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. The questions that I asked all of the participants, each one of them came back to me and said, even if you can't get to me, these were pretty intense questions. So thank you, because it made me really think. So. Mm-hmm. Maybe I will. Who knows?
Okay. Again, I like to dream big.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, then just to bring your story back to where it started for you, I guess is also what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. So we have a few minutes left, but I just want to be sure we've covered all the important details mm-hmm. that you wanted to cover.
Yes.
Let our listeners know again, where can they find... again, for listeners that aren't familiar with the book that we're talking about, is called The Butch Femme Photo Project. Wendy with an I and Kali, K-A-L-I is her last name. Where can folks get their hands on a hard copy of your book?
If you're here in Portland, St. John's Booksellers up on Lombard is carrying them. Another read-through on Mississippi also has them. And also, In Other Words, on Killingsworth has them. And also, Powell's Books is carrying them through their online website. It would be awesome if people just walked into Powell's and said, hey, can I get this book? Because maybe they'd bring it to their shelves.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're also talking with Broadway Books to hopefully get them in there. But they are also available online through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound.org, and also through the publisher themselves, BlueSkirtProductions.com.
And you can connect with Wendy on Wendy's website is the ButchFemPhotoProject.com. And if folks had questions or wanted to connect directly, they can email you through your website?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, wonderful. And another shout out to your publisher who's... working to get copies of the book in the hands of young people.
Yes, so, and they're working to schedule other readings or telling my story sort of thing. It's not really a reading because it's other people's words in the book, mm-hmm. but they're working to schedule me up until the time I leave.
Sharing your work with the world.
Yes, exactly.
So that's another opportunity. I guess if there are any listeners who would like Wendy to come and talk to your group or talk to your young people or maybe even talk at your faith community.
Yes.
I dream big. Okay.
That would be awesome.
The website again, ButchFemPhotoProject.com.
Yes. Oh, mm-hmm. Before I forget too, mm-hmm. I'm also going to be at another read through. I believe it's March 12th.
Okay.
But please check their website for details on that.
Okay.
Yes.
Right on. That's here in town?
Correct. On North Mississippi. Another read through.
Okay.
Another
fabulous. Bookstore. Right on. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll enjoy the second press of the book.
Thank you. Thank you for dreaming big.
Yay. Right on. Okay, listeners, stay tuned. We're going to have some more music for you in just a few moments. But I just want to remind you who we've been talking to this evening. And I want to say a huge thanks to our guests who have been here in studio with me. Again, my name is Carla. And our guest in the first part of the show was Ampersand Crates, who is a volunteer with the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest. And as a reminder, everyone is invited to the 21st anniversary celebration of Glappin's work. That's happening at the Q Center on Thursday, February 5th. The Q Center's website is pdxqcenter.org. And then we just said goodbye to Wendy Colley, the photographer and author of the Butch Femme Photo Project. Wendy's website is the butchfemphotoproject.com. And before we say goodbye, I want to let you know how to connect with us, the Out Loud team, online. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at outloudradio@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter by searching for KBOO Out Loud on both Facebook and Twitter if you use those social networking sites. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. Next week, Alan will be back here in studio. Want to say thank you for listening. Until next time, stay proud and live out loud. The song you're about to hear is dedicated to all of you. It's from Gloria Gaynor, "I Will Survive."
Then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned.
It's straight up 7 o'clock. You're listening to 90.7 FM, KBOO Portland. Your Tuesday edition of Hard Knock Radio is coming up next.
Tune in.